What's going on, everybody?
Good morning.
What's popping?
Mega, welcome back.
Oh, good to be back.
How was vacation?
Great? It was wonderful. Okay. I'm just a better person when I'm tan, so I'm in a great mood.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, you know what my motto is? If you can't tone it, tan it. You know what I mean, Curtis?
Amen. You're going to have to go on a run now. Like, we have to, like, settle this score because the Red Sox went on a run.
Oh, yeah.
We have to do like a Radio Johnny bit where you go for a run.
Okay, wait.
Yeah.
Wait, but what is actually, I don't want to get into all the logistics or whatever from the very jump, but what is a run?
Yeah.
Is a run a sweep? Because I know it's a four-game sweep, and it's the biggest they've had this season. But shouldn't a run include more than one series?
I agree. We have to find a number of games they have to win for Greg to actually commence a run.
A run? Yeah. An actual run.
Yeah.
There is a teeny, tiny little bit of joy in Mudville this morning, Curtis.
That was a great weekend.
Oh, I mean.
That was awesome.
Don't be a sucker, Greg.
Don't be a sucker. What do you mean?
Let them sucker you back in, brother.
You can't be negative about a four-game sweep of the Yankees.
No, you can't be celebrating a four-game sweep of the Yankees.
It was nice. So, I enjoyed it.
You can. No, you Sonny can. Gray with a no-no into the eighth.
Right.
That game, the way they won that game last night. Yeah. I mean,
they tried to blow it.
Yeah,
to be fair,
that's their DNA.
They could be happy with the series win, but you're still, in order to get back in on this team, you need to go 8 in a row.
Okay, all right,
if you don't go 8, if you go 4 in a row, it's great. You're still 4.5 out of it.
8 just, is crazy.
They just swept the Yankees.
I know they did.
So they got to peel off another 4 in a row.
Yep.
And then you may be back in.
Yeah, because now you're in a legitimate position to be like, oh, we could potentially get that third wild card spot, because that's the only spot that you probably have a realistic chance of getting. And in order to do that, you're going to have to rip off another 4 in a row to put you within real striking distance.
Imagine if this team had just been as focused on throwing guys out on the field as they were on throwing fans out of Fenway Park whenever anybody says anything bad about them.
Could be Mount Rushmore of douches to play in Boston.
Well, listen, it happened again last night, by the way. So Rafaela had somebody thrown out last night. And, of course, Jaren Duran had somebody thrown out on Saturday. So,
I had an eyewitness send me a DM, and he said he literally yelled 180.
That's what he yelled, 180.
The fan did. The guy that reached out to me, the person said that they heard the heckler yell out 180, his batting average or whatever.
Yeah.
And he literally had to be held back by Wilson Contreras from going in and attacking.
Well, he might be on our side then, because he's like, stop with the analytics, guys. Man,
he could have been like 180, like, hey, you're finally, you know, turning things around. Did he mean 180 in a negative way?
Yeah.
I wish the player would just like, when they have somebody thrown out, just let us know what that person said, so we can at least be like, all right, do we defend you, or do we say, you might be a little too sensitive?
So you need to know exactly what was said in order to defend somebody for having a fan thrown out of a baseball park.
Well, I'm talking about the athlete.
Where people are chirping.
Mm-hmm.
Every game. So
right. I'm saying, if the athlete said he crossed the line,
you can't claim every time that you get pissed and get somebody thrown out, you can't claim that they crossed.
Especially when you're using slurs at fans.
That's why I'm saying I wish the athlete would say, oh, this is what the person said to me.
Yeah.
Then you could go, all right.
Yeah.
But if you don't know what the person said to the athlete, now we're basically playing the game of trying to figure out, did he cross the line? Did he not cross the line? Because if you say something racist or homophobic or something about, you know, somebody's dead parents or dead sister, then that's crossing the line. But we don't know that because the athletes don't say it.
Yeah. No,
I wish they would just say.
But isn't it crazy that this happened? So with Rafaela, I saw Zach Cox from the Boston Herald tweeted it out, said that Rafaela got into it with a Yankees fan right before the start of the 10th inning. Center field had that guy or girl, whatever, thrown out.
Right.
Isn't it crazy that it's happening at Fenway? Like, with your, like, that's your home field. It's not like you're going out on the road in hostile territory.
Yeah, but you say it was a Yankees fan?
Yeah, but still, it's like, okay, so, like, screw, you're about to sweep them.
Oh, that reminds me. I don't know how I should have reacted this morning to something that occurred to me on my old man walk. So I was down the end of the pier, you know where Nautilus is, it's making my turn around the pier. And there was an older, when I say older, like a 33-year-old gentleman in a Yankees jersey who was passed out on the pier area. So this is 4:30 a.m.
All right.
So I didn't know whether to ask him if he was okay to try to awaken him or whether I should let him sleep. I mean, this team had just been swept at Fenway Park. Curtis, what should I just walked right by.
Did you notice if there was any heart rate or blood or any breathing going on?
He seemed to be snoring.
Okay. So, well, then,
is that
okay?
Is that an indication that the man is
maybe
okay?
Get Lewis CPAP with
him. Okay, yeah.
There you go. Keep it pushing.
My highlight of the weekend, Greg, was Friday night. James and I were at Rosa Lyons, and this guy walks in a Yankees jersey. Much bigger than me, which is not saying much, but stronger, taller. And James just yells out, "Boo Yankees!"
Boo Yankees. Well, listen.
I was like, oh, it's okay. He has Tourette's. And then he walked away. But it was an unbelievable week. Honestly, I don't know how you're negative about the Red Sox today. That was awesome. That was a great weekend.
It was great. And the question, I think, becomes, how does John Henry, because he's the one who clearly is making all the decisions, don't give me Craig Breslow has anything to say of any importance whatsoever. How does John Henry feel about the pivot? And if the pivot was underway, is this enough to pause the pivot?
No, there's not enough to pause the pivot.
Are you sure about that?
Because you still have a month before the trade deadline. And so that's why I said, are you going to be in a position where, let's say, you're a half game out of that third wild card spot? Or in a month from now, are you still four games out from that third wild card spot? And if so, then the pivot won't change. Like, you'll still be a team that'll be selling. Right? That's the thing. You're not, like, you're fighting for one spot, and like you said, Mego, against a bunch of teams. And right now, you are there's a far distance between you and that one spot.
They have the fourth best run differential in the American League.
Yeah, but that means nothing.
That is everything they use.
Yeah, but I mean, it means nothing in the sense if you're not making any headway.
But every single model that every baseball team uses, not like the most diverse analytical driveline, is predicated upon a understanding of where you are vis-a-vis your opponents over the course of the season, and that's how they use it.
So let me ask the room a simple question this. If the trade deadline was tomorrow, would they be buyers or sellers based
on
where? They would do nothing. And I would
They would sit on the fence
and I would recommend
the Yankees?
I would say, because more so that last week there was this info about the CBT and how the Sonny Grays of the world are not going to be as high in demand because of the amount of money other teams have to take on with the, it was really in the weeds. But I would say just sit where you are.
Just really quick, Curtis, because I didn't see that. Is some of that pitching versus offense? Because I feel like one of the insiders had that a couple weeks ago. Like, hey, if you think a team like the Red Sox are going to acquire offensive talent at the trade deadline, like, keep dreaming. Because there's a lot of pitchers to be dealt around. But offense, basically, you got to get in the offseason, which they showed last year they couldn't do.
I remember hearing that. So you think if the trade deadline was to start tomorrow, you think the Red Sox are not doing anything?
Yeah, I just don't think they're going to get a market value deal or of any kind for Sonny Gray, and he's been really good.
What about Chapman?
I don't know what you're going to get. I mean, Chapman's the one guy, sure, trade him. I mean, I'm fine with that.
Well, would you? I don't think I'd trade Sonny Gray at this point. I mean,
They could get Ken's word of the day on Saturday was a haul. If they could get a haul, sure.
I guess.
But
then
you
really have to believe that you're completely done and finished and there's no chance whatsoever. The pitching is... Pitching is awesome. That's 10 quality starts in a row. First time since 1988 for this baseball team.
Yeah, that's been... Even Bresbach said it on... When I asked him about the grade that he would give his team, even he was like, the pitching has been great for us. It's just obviously our inability to score runs. I just think that if you're in a position, and we've talked to Sam Kennedy, or if you're even Bresbach, and you have a couple guys that could potentially, you know, be assets and get you some value back, why would you just stand pat and just continue to grind it out for the second half of the season?
No, I can't.
Knowing that you might not even, you know, have a chance to make the postseason.
I'll tell you what, something happened. The Red Sox swept the Yankees. No. Something happened. They swept the Yankees last night on national TV. And Jarren Duran, who one day is busy yelling at fans and getting pulled back by his teammates, and then the next day, not in the starting lineup, enters as a pinch hitter, does nothing, but then comes up in extra innings and walks it off as the Red Sox get their first four-game sweep of the Yankees since 2018. Oh, geez, what'd they do that
year? Wait, they winning the World Series.
Yeah, 2018.
Facts are facts.
I mean, that's what happened. Pretty good baseball team. So a lot happened with the Red Sox this weekend. You can discuss here on Jones and Keefe, Turpin for Keefe, with your phone calls, 617-779-7937. Red Sox pitching, dominant. They now have 11 straight quality starts. Sonny Gray had a no-hitter into the eighth inning last night, 7 1/3, most of his career. He looked excellent. Red Sox fall apart in the ninth inning. Wilyer Abreu, who look, I mean, there's a lot going on in his personal life, his country. What's happened in Venezuela is devastating. So I'd cut him a little bit of leeway, but the plays he was making last night in right field are just literally jaw-dropping. The throw he had from right field.
That was from Cisco Brewers. He was across the street.
I couldn't believe that throw. Never mind Scrappy-Doo, not cutting it off, thinking that Chapman was behind him. Like, just a disaster.
I was like, here they are. Here come the Red Sox.
Agreed. And it's like, that was the most Red Sox thing ever. They're yelling at fans. Rafaela was yelling at a fan last night. Duran won't talk about it after the game. Nothing happened. And then the Red Sox were going to lose that game. That's 100% what I thought was happening. They're down 4-2 in the 10th. You're like, here we go. Then they're able to come through. And you get some big hits. Siegler, that's a piece in the Harrison trade. I'm not telling you that makes up for the Harrison trade, but he's looked good.
That guy's electric, too.
In his small game. He is a fiery guy.
He's always, like, talking to the fans. It's pretty cool.
He places one through the right side. It's 4-3. Yoshida gets this electric double where he's sliding into second, and now the go-ahead run is on second base. You get a sac fly from Cheng and then the walk-off from Duran. So the Red Sox wind up winning at 5-4. They are now 4.5 games out of the wild card, not first place. 4.5 games out of the third wild card, Terp, and they have their longest win streak of the year.
Just think if they didn't stink it up in Colorado. Like, it actually, you the conversation is much different because 4.5 is still pretty big, especially when you're looking at
they only
standing
gained a game
AM.
And a half after winning 4 in a row.
Yeah.
No, they've won 7 out of 10. It should be 9 out of 10. They should have won both.
They
should have
won 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
If they had won 9 out of 10 and they just took care of business in Colorado like they should have, the conversation today is much different. You're looking at this and like everyone knows the team's not great, but the AL is so bad that you're looking at this like, wait, hang on, they could actually make this at least interesting in the wild card race. But
stop it.
They don't.
Get some help.
I mean, I'm not saying, obviously we know the team is not. Even after this, they have the second fewest wins in the American League.
They're going to lay an egg against the Nationals.
Of course they are. They're going to get swept. They've been allergic to momentum all year.
Here's the thing. The Nationals are kind of like the bizarro Red Sox. Not in terms of the record. They're actually a game over 500, and they're 2 games out of the wild card. But they score a bazillion runs.
I think they have the most runs in baseball.
They can't pitch. Both these teams have the same run differential. They're both +5. So, like, it tells you the Nationals score a million runs, they give up a million runs. The Red Sox can't score. They also have 11 consecutive quality starts and are one of the better pitching staffs in baseball, and they really have it going right now. If you go with their current rotation, Bennett was great, again, over the weekend.
Another piece there.
If you go with their current rotation, which doesn't even include Crochet, they would have the lowest starters ERA in baseball.
Take out Bayo in there, too.
Well, I'm saying, no, if you just took these five guys.
Oh, just these five?
They would have a lower starters ERA than the Brewers if you went, in whatever order, Suarez, Tolley, Early, Bennett, who am I missing in that group? Sonny Gray, last night. That'd be the lowest starters ERA in baseball. So the Red Sox and Nationals are like bizarro versions of each other.
Yeah, the Nationals have the most runs in baseball. They've scored 121 more runs than the Red Sox.
Yeah, but they've also given up.
And they've given up 100 and whatever more.
Exactly. I'm telling you.
121 more.
I'm telling you. So, like, I don't know what's going to happen in this series. This could be a wild one, quite frankly.
Is it Suarez tonight? I didn't even look. Yeah, it is. Ranger Suarez tonight. You feel pretty good about it. He was awesome, too. He's sneaky, has like an all-star case. I don't think he gets it, but there's a sneaky case there.
Red Sox are going to get somebody on that team. I don't know who it's going to be. It could be Sonny Gray after last night. I'll tell you who it won't be. It will not be Jarren Duran, which honestly, the walk-off last night, Breslow should have been on the phone until 6 a.m. trying to trade Durant all over the league. We've been done with him, Terp. I don't get why they haven't moved on from him other than the
reporting. They
should
have last year.
The reporting being, well, I know why they didn't do it a couple of years ago. That was Cora, who blocked the trade, and then continued to cry about how crowded his outfield was and how much of a logjam there was. But I think they overvalue him. The rest of the league probably properly values him, and the Red Sox can't get past that disconnect. So I think that's why he hasn't been traded yet. I'm done with him. The walk-off moment was great last night. It seems like the team had his back. Good. But on top of that, I can't deal with the roller coaster with him anymore. Shouting at fans again.
I wonder how teams around the league look at that.
Him yelling at fans?
He's a ticking time
bomb. Like 100%. Oh, great. Let's acquire the guy in two games in. He might be hollering at our fan base, our paying customers. This is Chad Tracy after the game, by the way. Duran didn't want to talk about it. Here's a quick exchange with the interim manager.
At the end of the game there,
yeah.
Just some people that were chirping, had been chirping for a few innings and started chirping towards Jaren again. We grabbed him and got him down, just told him, can you get him out? That was all.
What were they saying?
Just chirping at him.
Like regular baseball chirping?
I don't want to get into the details. Just enough for us to say, can you please get him out?
Okay, so a guy called Greg today and said he was the guy, and he was just yelling 198 at Durant over and over again about his batting average. I mean, look, maybe he was yelling that. I imagine for the Red Sox to alert them to kick the guy out, it was something worse, but what do I know? Regardless, I don't care what the guy said. Jaren, you can't keep going at fans. You can't keep doing it. And he keeps doing it.
It's once a month at this point. Like it needs to stop. And especially if it's taking away from the value, which I think is the most important thing here, is no one's changing their stance after the sweep of whether or not they should buy or sell at the deadline. And there was a report as well that all the conversations from the Red Sox have been in regards to selling, which it should be. I mean, even if you do add a bat, what does it do? What exactly are you trying to do? You're trying to get in the wild card for what? Like, this team's just not good enough.
I disagree with that. If they get to the wild card, then they get in the playoffs and maybe they can go on a run. We've seen plenty of teams do that.
4.5 games still feels like
a lot. But you said make the wild card for what?
I should have said try.
They make the wild card, I'm all about it. But I'm with you. This series has not changed my outlook.
Especially with Judge and Stanton out, Grisham's out. Like, that team is banged up. And now looking at that roster, well, and you can say the same thing about the Red Sox.
Crochet, you can say the same thing about the
Red Sox, but there is a steep drop-off in that lineup. Where, like, this isn't, like, you're looking at the top of the AL standings and you're seeing the Yankees. Like, that's not the Yankees team that they saw. What I'm getting at, I guess, is one sweep over the Yankees does not change my opinion on where this team should go and where things are.
I agree. You want to sweep the Nationals? Come talk to me, though. You want to rip off 7 in a row? Jones might be back in. But not yet. Even I'm not falling for this one yet. I can fall for it. I might fall for it again, but I'm not doing it yet.
All right, Rob. Obviously, I'm laying it on a little thick, but this felt different, didn't it? It felt pretty good. I mean, when you kick the ass the Yankees four game like and sweep it like this. I mean, is there anything to it? Are you feeling any kind of energy that wasn't there beforehand?
Well, first of all, I always feel energy when I'm on with you guys. Yelling McFarlane, feeling Ace of Spades. Are you kidding me? Like, if you could be like 0-162, you have Ace of Spades going on. It doesn't make a difference. You feel good about everything. And I also, before we go, I also want to know, Ken, I heard Ken, his life lesson, something he lives by.
Yes.
Yeah. That you wait as long as possible before you actually do
yes.
something.
Yes.
Did you do that when you said that J.D. Martinez was never going to play the outfield in 2017?
That was a kerosene take that just didn't come true. Different from my radio career. Just, I'm talking about personal life. Personal life decisions.
Okay. Okay. All right. I get it. So when you eat those gummy bears in the press box, you think five times.
I do, yeah. Measure twice,
Anyway, it's so – here's the thing, guys. It's weird walking around today. I was in the post office. I was, you know, here and there. And I had more people. I just overheard more people talk about the Red Sox. Not even, like, to me, but talk about the Red Sox. And I felt like what I came away from off of these four games, off of last night, was that people are so desperate for good things. We just want good things. We just want a taste of what summer should be around here. And that's the vibe I got today. So to answer your question, Rich, yeah, you know, I think that's exactly what last night did. I thought a win would have probably done that, but the way that they won, I think that sort of everybody raised their antennas a little bit more.
And you know what's weird too, Rob, is that like I had a feeling when we were going into this series, like there was a feeling that this could obviously end bad because the Yankees are a very good team and the Red Sox have been awful. But then there was that story that came up. Who was it that Sean McAdams said that the people were saying? The Sean McAdams story that came out right before the series.
With Marcelo Meyer?
That Marcelo Meyer apparently was being questioned about his toughness physically and mentally. And then there was, of course, what happened with Jaren Duran mouthing off to the crowd, and even there was like a Raffaella thing that happened yesterday or the day before, I think, too, where he was yelling off at the crowd, and I'd been giving Chad Tracy so much credit for, as bad as his team was, things kind of like that being under control, and I just started to feel that if things didn't turn out this weekend, that the locker room was going to implode, and that's why I believe that the way that they won last night, especially being Jaren Duran, you know, a guy that probably needed a good day better than anybody, some sort of good karma coming his way after saying what he did and doing what he did the other night, it kind of prevented, I believe, there being a possible implosion with this team.
Well, yeah, and I'll throw another one at you. Remember, I mean, they came back after that sad trombone of Colorado and had everyone wasn't on an hour of sleep. And everyone's like, oh, here we go. All right. And even when they win, they're like, oh, no, it's the next day. It's the next day it catches up to you. Or they'll win the next day. But if they don't win, if they don't do what they did, if they don't say if they split this series, I mean, we're right back to where we were before about, oh, look at where they are in the standings. You're 6.5 out instead of 4.5 out. So I think that, yeah, all of it. And I do credit Chad Tracy a lot. And I will say this, is that, as we sit here, they're, you know, for whatever reason, because they found some solutions, some of these guys that have been called up, Chang, Siegler, these guys, they fit in really well. They're playing really well. The pieces of the puzzle fit a lot better than they did before. And now you're sitting here like, okay, like, this is the stretch, man. Like, this is where you go. This is where you figure it out. Whether or not you have two teams that you play in the next four series, which you are definitively better than in the standings. And then you have Chicago, who's going to be tough. But you have a chance here leading into the All-Star break. And this is, to me, this is where they can make their run. You have the T-shirt gun. You have the trampoline that was that was the Yankee series. And now this is your opportunity. And by the time you get to the All-Star break, that's when you define exactly who you are.
Oh, Brad Foe's fired up. I love it. All right, so in the last four games against the Yankees, Anthony Siegler has five hits, has a home run, two RBIs. What do you think about his play? Is this guy, is it sustainable? And has he carved out a role for himself to get more time moving forward?
Yeah, I don't know if it's sustainable, Ted, but here's what we should understand about this. He was a first-round draft pick, and I say that because, like, if you're a first-round draft pick, you're talented. You have talent. He was taken just a few spots. I think a spot maybe after Tristan Casas. So you know that he has talent. He just has to find his way. I mean, he was a former catcher. And the thing I like about him is that he puts the ball in play. He obviously is a switch hitter. He makes the plays at second. And here's the biggest thing I like about him. Is the vibes, man. Like, this is the thing. You had a clubhouse, and they're a bunch of nice guys. That's all well and good. But when you don't win, that can be tough. If you don't have someone coming in, and you see Anthony Siegler running, you know, basically running from home plate to the dugout, hyping up the crowd, like, mm-hmm. There's three people in the crowd. Like, it's like a bunch of parents or something, and they're looking at their phones. Like, he's hyping up the Fenway Park crowd. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's a small part of it, but an important part of what this club needs.
All right. So, Rob, when we get back, hang in there because you talked to Roman Anthony. No one's got better access to the team than our man Rob Bradford.
So
no
true, one. Man.
Especially Roman.
It's amazing what a free Baseball Isn't Boring hat can do as far as access.
Oh, sticker.
Hey, whatever it takes. Who cares about journalistic integrity?
He gave Rob his Lambo to drive over the weekend. Dude, unbelievable.
There you go. There you go.
Sonny Gray, who has been, to use a word that is banned on this show, spectacular this season. Spectacular again last night. And the Red Sox sweep the Yankees. And so Sonny Gray says that if we are going to get back into this thing, then they are going to need the fans. But is there a chance that they can get back into this thing? That is what we have been discussing all morning long.
Right.
On this radio show.
Well, I'd ask the room, do you think this team can finish with a 500 record or a game or above,
yes,
or even below?
Yes.
All right. So
yes,
if you do believe that, then I guess there is a chance, because based on that third wild card spot, that's what it's going to look like, that team who gets it, their record is. So if you believe it, then now the Red Sox might be on a second pivot from the pivot that we thought they were going to be on and going, well, maybe we can actually get that third spot.
I think what's frustrating is, I know, Greg, you've been talking about the quality starts that the pitching staff has had, which is great, but then you still, like, barf all over your shoes against the Rockies, who are one of the other worst teams.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to me, it's frustrating that they can have a sweep like this against the Yankees and have a feel-good weekend, but there's still I know the pitching's been great, but there's no consistency. There's nobody that you can look at in your lineup and go, right, like, okay, we're going to ride this through, besides, like, I guess, Wilson Contreras.
Well, I think the other part to Megal to that point, and you make a really good point, is you don't look at this and going, oh, okay, now they play the Nationals and they can sweep that series.
Right. Nothing's a given.
Like, they could literally get swept by the Nationals and you could be right back to square one. That's where I think, that's for me, it's about the inconsistency of this baseball team, where it's like, how can you believe anything you've seen? Because they haven't had a decent, consistent period where you can go, all right, maybe they could be that team.
Yeah, like they had those 3 weeks in May where the offense was really great and blah, blah, blah. All you can really point to is, even though Garrett Crochet has been out forever, their starting pitching is really good.
That's it. That's all you got.
I mean, Curtis brought it up this morning, and I think it was a great point. Curtis, well done.
Thank you.
They are better. This team is better under Chad Tracy than they were under Alex Cora.
Right. Considering the rosters that each have had the opportunity to manage.
You know, Alex Cora had the benefit of having Garrett Crochet and having Roman Anthony. And so, you know, a little bit concerning that they have now switched up Roman Anthony to the 60-day as opposed to the 40. I with what Marcelo Meyer is dealing with, is at some point, is someone going to ask if the unusual hand arm injuries that this team has dealt with this season is related to driveline at any point? Is somebody going to ask that question?
Is it possible that driveline works for pitching and not for offense, like not for hitting? Is that possible? Because the more baseball people that I talk to,
mm-hmm,
from like the writing side, it's like, oh, well, driveline got really popular because a bunch of pitchers went to the facility and they got their speed up by like 5 miles per hour, which is a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then driveline exploded from that. So maybe it's more of a pitching tool. And for hitting, it just doesn't make sense. Like, is that possible?
Yeah, I think it's more possible that Roman and Marcelo are kind of not rushing back than it is driveline's fault.
Mm. Mm.
Like, I don't know. You cater to them.
On their own? Or at the team's bequest?
On their own. You think the team doesn't want them back?
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I'm sorry. We were in Hilton Head wondering when he was going to be back. Now it's the All-Star break.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it. Does it need surgery? How do you fix it?
I don't know. It's an interesting theory that you might have, because, you know, we've talked about it in other sports, you know, the whole thing. Are you hurt versus are you injured? Could you play through certain things? What's your pain threshold? Are you able to play through these, whatever it is, right? We talked about Durbin with the finger injury he sustained, but then he was able to come back and play. Like, the Roman Anthony situation is, who, to Curtis's point, like, what's the reason why this guy isn't playing? Is it him? Is the team's not rushing him back? Is the team like Garrett O'Shea? I don't mind if the team wants to say, "Hey, listen, we're going to shut this guy down and we're going to not rush him back until he's ready to go." Like that part, I don't mind because I know what Garrett O'Shea can do. Mm-hmm. With Roman Anthony, it's like, well, if this is the face of your franchise when it comes to your offense and your hitting, we need to see more from this kid. Like, what is he really?
Especially if you think that you're going to make any kind of push before the trade deadline mm-hmm. to figure out who you are, then you need to see if Roman Anthony can be healthy and
right.
and contribute.
And can he carry the team when it comes to hitting?
But so Bresbaugh was on Friday and was reluctant to say that the pivot is underway or when the pivot was going to start. And a few days before he joined us on Friday morning, he was talking about how the ship can still be righted. Is this series enough for them to scratch their heads and go, all right, wait a minute. Like, maybe this can be a playoff team? And or is this series win, to borrow from Cam Newton, fool's gold?
Good morning.
No, I believe that they, like, when I asked the question, I believe that they think they go, oh, we can get to 500 or a game or two above it and grab that third wild card spot. They look at it and go, our pitching is so good. All we're going to need is the guys that we expected to at least be hitting at a major league level. Those guys will turn it on, pick it up. You know, some other guys are starting to pick it up, and our hitting will start to come around, and maybe we'll get hot in the second half of the season.
Here's where I feel with the Red Sox. A bad team only deserves to be talked about in big picture sense, because what they do game to game doesn't really matter.
Right.
It's like they're a bad team. They're going to keep being bad. To me, they have not earned the game to game talk. Like, they haven't proven enough to get out of the big picture conversations.
Right.
And the big picture conversations are who's still going to be with this organization, who should handle the trade deadline. All of that is where I'm at with this team. I haven't pivoted myself over to, like, wow, what happens if they win this series and that series? Like, mm-hmm. they haven't shown that they deserve that conversation.
I get that way. The point, my thing for this team is, like, show me that you can be consistent over 10, 15, 20 game stretch where I can look at it and go, all right, because we know how baseball is, right? Baseball is one of the sports that's so streaky. Guys can go on a slump forever and then all of a sudden turn on, you know, come out of it and be hitting great for a month or two. And that month or two could be at the end of the season heading into the postseason where this guy catches on fire. But you have to show me that's where I'm still like,
well, didn't they show you something in that comeback win last night?
Yeah, but I mean, to Megal's point, that's like
you're down 4-2.
Well, you're up 2-0 and then you gagged on right. your
yeah,
beat.
But then right. you're able to get the hits that you right. need in the bottom of the 10th and win that baseball game.
Right, like, but to Megal's point though, that's like one series. And prior to that, you lost the series to the Colorado Rockies. So that's not enough to get me going. You know what I mean? It's like, I just feel like no matter, yeah, even though you put the lipstick on the pig and she did look cute under the right lighting, she's probably still, it's like the Jerry Seinfeld Two-Face.
And you can thank Thomas Edison for that lighting, yeah. not Alexander Graham Bell.
Yes. It's the Two-Face thing.
Not Thomas Jefferson. Right.
You yeah. see what Mitch put up on Twitch?
This is so good.
Oh, that's nice.
What did he put up?
He put up Thomas Jefferson making the first transatlantic phone call.
All right.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
All right.
Is that question? So in that picture, that I know this is like a painting. Is that Thomas Jefferson's real hair? Because it doesn't look like the other wigs in the picture.
Maybe that's his actual real hair. I don't know.
When did they decide that they were going to be like guys who wore wigs or guys who just shaped their gray hair like that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a great question.
They all probably smelled really bad.
I think the wig thing started in England.
Right.
Isn't
that
not?
That's what I thought.
They still wear them in the House of Commons.
Yes, like in all
which is so fun. Yes.
Their courtrooms really and all that other stuff.
We should wear wigs.
I think a lot of people do. Women. A lot of women do wear wigs.
Yeah.
You know, nothing wrong with wearing
a lot of men
wig.
In Hollywood do.
Yeah, I mean,
wiggy.
I guess if you're like bald, you could pull off. Now they're like, you know, guys are doing the wigs.
They do
for
the filler at the front.
Yeah, guys are like totally. Doing some cool wigs nowadays. Like if they're bald and they want to have long hair, some braids or something.
Well, know. Also just a lot of movies that you watch, guys like that's not their hairline. They have like little filler behind it and stuff.
Front, what they call them, lace fronts.
Okay.
To line it up, like the bald head and everything like that.
Yeah, make it look good on camera.
All right, well, we are, I don't know what's going on with Eliza Dushku. Is Tom still waiting up there for her?
Yeah, I got a text a couple minutes ago from Tom saying that he's up there, doesn't see her.
Possible she came and he asked her out and she said yes.
Or that
she
arrived.
She said no and probably left.
Right, she arrived and went to the gym.
All right. Well, I don't know what's going on there.
It's directions.
We'll see what we can figure out there.